Sportscast, January 9th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest. And this episode is brought to you by Instabible. Share your verse on Instagram to the world. Download it on the iOS App Store. NFL playoffs divisional round 2020 is here. Most of the games are going to be really exciting. We'll see some veterans going at each other and some new people that never been to the playoffs for the first time, favorited or maybe not favorited. And to iron this out, we got Kailu Borden straight from New York City. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
Kailu Borden, 2020 divisional playoffs this weekend. Sounds pretty exciting. A lot of intriguing matches. Let's start off with the Ravens versus the Houston Texans. No, sorry, the Tennessee Titans. Of course, Tennessee Titans are coming out from a big win against the Patriots. Can this momentum carry them and neutralize the Baltimore Ravens?
I think it's going to be hard. I think the Baltimore Ravens are obviously a lot better. I think the play of the game last week for me, the Titans, when they stopped them in the goal line, I think that was a very important play. It could have been a two-score game, which would have made it obviously harder for Ryan Tannehill to come back. They were able to hold him to a field. I think that was the play of the game. A lot of people talk about how the type of weapons that Brady didn't have. But let's remember, like, we got to give a lot of credit to the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans came with a game plan. Ryan Tannehill only had 72 passing yards, but when he had to make throws on 3rd and 8, he was able to make those throws. Derrick Henry had a hell of a game, a monster game. So that was able. It's going to be a lot tougher to run against a Ravens team, it's going to be a lot tougher to come in and run against a Ravens team. But I'm not sure that they would be able to stop Lamar Jackson. I think it's going to be very, very close. But Lamar Jackson's having a sensational year. I think he's going to win the MVP this year. So it's going to be more tough from a game plan to stop them because Tom Brady's not a mobile quarterback. So I think it's going to be more tougher to stop Lamar Jackson. But I can see them keeping it close. However, I think the Ravens should be able to win this game.
Announced today, Mark Ingram will be appearing this weekend in the game. I'm not sure if he'll be starting, but he will be active. Do you think that will make a huge difference for the Ravens?
Yes, I think it does make a huge difference for them because I think that they really rely on their run-first football team. Lamar Jackson can make throws, but their whole thing is predicated on them running the football. So I think that Mark Ingram playing is definitely a good thing for them. And I'm not shocked that he would play, but I'll be watching. I'm not shocked because most players, unless they have like a major injury, like a broken bone, they can't play or they can't walk. Most players choose to play in the playoffs. So I'll be interested to see what type of shape is he in for that game, what type of mobility is he able to run at.
If the Titans have a chance to win this game, will they have to rely a lot on Derrick Henry or on Ryan Tannehill?
If the Titans win this game, they're going to have to mug it up like they did similar to what they did against the Patriots, keep it low scoring. They're going to have to stay within a touchdown. They can't get in the shootout. The defense is going to have to hold them less than 24 points because I don't think that Ryan Tannehill is going to be able to get in the shootout. And if they win, it's going to be their defense is going to have to play really, really well. I think the second key for them is going to be Ryan Tannehill can't turn the ball over, and he's going to have to make similar to what he did against the Patriots. Despite having only 70-plus passing yards, he was able to make that throw on 3rd and 8. He was able to scramble the ball, when he was able to make plays when he had to. So I think that's going to have to happen. Similar to what I said about with Derrick Henry, they're going to have to give Derrick Henry the ball over 30 times. It's going to be tough for a lot against that Ravens front. But they're going to have to get the ball to Derrick Henry over 30 times. They're going to have to protect the football. And they're going to have to keep Lamar Jackson at 24 points. And at no point in the game can they be down by more than 7 points because then that's going to make it a lot tougher for Ryan Tannehill because then you can't go 60-40 run if you're down by 2 touchdowns. You got to tend to throw the ball more. So I think that's going to have to be those things. They're going to have to protect the football, keep them to under 24 points in the entire game, and at no point be down by more than 7 points.
It's a very tough battle for the Titans. It would be way more tougher than the Patriots, of course. And we play in Baltimore this Saturday at 8:15 p.m. is the later game. The early game is the Vikings versus the Niners that are, who have won the NFC regular season, and Vikings coming out a strong win against the Saints. Will this game be closer than you think?
I think it. Oh, yeah, to finish your point, I think this game is going to be very good because I think the Vikings defense, did a tremendous job last week in terms of Xavier Rhodes really struggled in a thing, but he did a lot better job attacking. He got burned one time. But the Vikings defense did terrific. Coming on the road and winning in New Orleans against Drew Brees, they had a terrific game plan. The Vikings defensive line really controlled that game. They made life hell of a lot tough for Drew Brees. I was very impressed with Kirk Cousins. He had a bunch of – he had a dime at Adam Thielen, and that was just a terrific throw. It was great coverage. It was a terrific throw. He really had a great game last week. Dalvin Cook was tremendous as well, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, 20 carries. He was terrific. They Danielle Hunter and Joseph, they really get after it. And I feel like you can't really sleep on the Vikings in that game. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. The 49ers like to run the football. The Vikings really have a chance to win this game. Coming in New Orleans, winning that game in the hospital crowd, if Kirk Cousins can keep some of that going, and they could keep the – I saw a lot of people say that they use 3 wide receivers, which they haven't been doing in the regular season, but they were able to use it last against the Saints. Winning that game for Kirk Cousins was huge. If he can sort of replicate that magic he had last week, they definitely have a chance to win this game. Garoppolo has a lot of inexperience as a quarterback. That's also going to be a factor. Kyle Shanahan hasn't coached in the playoffs, so that's going to be a factor. Mike Zimmer's been there. They're coming off that win in New Orleans. I think that was really huge for them. A lot of people doubt Kirk Cousins. And some of it was his fault in Washington. And some of it was his fault in Washington with the Monday night struggles and the primetime struggles. And some of it wasn't his fault. In Green Bay, I felt like that was his fault. He could have done more in terms of NFC North. And division was on the line, even though he had Dalvin Cook. He could have done more in that game. But some of it's his fault, but he was able to rise to the occasion. If Kirk Cousins can play well and Dalvin Cook and that front seven could continue to get after it, that Vikings front seven is really good. And they were really good against Drew Brees last week.
They did play this season already. Minnesota beat them 24-16, but it was in Minneapolis. This time around will be at Levi Stadium. It'll be the first game of the weekend. But what it sounds like, you're sounding like the Vikings could pull this off.
Yeah, I think they could. I think last week, I think especially how if Kirk Cousins can continue to play well, I think he made a bunch of throws last week to Adam Thielen in overtime. A lot of people said at the end of the play was offensive pass interference. I didn't think it was offensive interference. I thought Saints fans had a gripe last year when they lost to the Rams. That was an egregious pass interference that everybody knows. But I feel like Sean Payton got out coached by Mike Zimmer. He had a couple couple of questionable play call decisions. Time management, I think he was his best. And Kirk Cousins simply outplayed Drew Brees last week. And outplaying Brees in New Orleans is extremely tough. And I feel like if he can bounce off that and that Vikings front seven can continue to create pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo has never started a playoff game. So that's also – experience is also going to be a factor in that. And I think if Kirk Cousins can follow that up in the Vikings, they can keep it close. I wouldn't pick them to win the game, but I think they can keep it close, especially coming out last week. If Cousins can handle those roles 3-4, they can rely on that game and take advantage of Jimmy Garoppolo's inexperience. They can win the game.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. It'll be a pretty exciting game for the Vikings and the Niners. Niners' first playoff appearance, I believe, in 15 years or so. I can't remember the last time. Vikings have been around a little bit longer. Kirk Cousins has some playoff experience. He's going up against his old offensive coordinator coach, Shanahan. So it's going to be an interesting, coming back to and play against his old offensive coordinator. Next game Sunday, the first game of Sunday, is the Chiefs versus the Texans. The Texans have beaten the Chiefs before in Kansas City. How do you see this matchup, Kailu?
I actually like the Chiefs really a lot here, and I'll tell you why. I didn't like the Texans in Washington. I thought both coaches were trying to lose the game. I feel like the Texans have been outscored now 34-0 at halftime. I don't like that they get off to a slow start. I think that you want to rely on your franchise quarterback a lot, but I think they're too Watson dependent. I don't like that. I think their offensive line is inconsistent. Even though Watson does sometimes hold on to the ball too long, I don't like their in-game coaching. I feel like they fall behind a lot. Andy Reid notoriously has struggled in the playoffs. But I think Kansas City at home, their defense has been playing a lot better since week 14. I like Kansas City actually by a couple touchdowns here. And I think that coupled with, I think Josh Allen's inexperience got the best of him in the second half. That thing, I feel like he got off to a tremendous start. I feel like if the Kansas City Chiefs get off to a fast start early and the Texans fall behind, they're not going to be able to take advantage of Patrick Mahomes' inexperience, especially at home with all the weapons, Andy Reid. I don't feel like they'll be as equipped. I feel like they got back in the game because of Josh Allen's turnover, and I don't think that they will be able to do that, equate that to Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes has more success, along with Kansas City's defense has been playing well to the latter part of the season, and I think Kansas City definitely gets it done. And I think Andy Reid has a really good team with the defense playing well. I think this is Andy Reid's run to like play the Ravens next week in the AFC Championship game. I think both teams look to get it done because Andy Reid, about some point he needs to get to the Super Bowl, and some point he needs to like conquer that hill. So I think with the defense playing better off the bye, I think Andy Reid and them come off fresh. And I think if they fall behind like they did last against the Bills, I could see them having a long day.
For the Texans to have a chance, you'll have to see more from Watson, right?
No, for the Texans to have a chance, I need to see better in-game game plan from Bill O'Brien. I also need to see their defense play a lot better. I need to see them get off to a better start in the first half, because what happened to them last week against Josh Allen, they're not going to be able to count on Patrick Mahomes and that inexperience. That fumble that had Josh Allen thing and him throwing a lateral backwards at the end of the fourth quarter, that's not going to happen with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and those weapons that they have in Kansas City. If you get off to a struggling start in Kansas City like they did and not score in the first half of that game, you're not going to come back and win against Patrick Mahomes like you did Josh Allen. That's not going to have success for you.
Something to definitely look at. It'll be a big game. Do you think it'll be close, or do you think it'll be a good margin for Kansas City?
No, I think it's going to be a good margin. Andy Reid coming off a bye is really, really good. And I think he's got to get over the hump. And this is with the defense playing better of late, and the Chiefs really streaking at the right moment, I think they definitely could win by two touchdowns, especially in the two wins that Bill O'Brien's won in his career. He's beat Connor Cook, a backup quarterback, and he's beat Josh Allen. And Josh Allen thing, I feel like the Bills defense played really well enough to win that game. And Josh Allen, you know, the moment really got too big for him in the first half, in the second half. And I feel like he played really, really well in the first half, but the moment just got too big for him. And I think he has a really, really good future. But I even saw in the regular season game against the Patriots, there was a throw he could have made on first and goal. He overthrew him, and then he took a sack. He took two questionable sacks for last game. He took one on third and goal, on fourth and 27 with three timeouts. The Bills coaches decided to go for it when they could have punted the ball. I feel like that was not good in game. I don't think that they, with an experienced coach in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I don't think that the Texans are going to be able to rely on inexperience. And I could definitely see the Chiefs winning by two touchdowns.
That game will be at 3:05 p.m. this Sunday. Second game of that day, the game that has the most experience, the quarterbacks that know that have been to the playoffs before, Seahawks versus Packers, Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson. Kailu, what's going to happen in Green Bay?
I really like this game because it's the Packers and it's my team. So I think the Packers win this game. I think a lot's been made about the Packers not having a bye, and I think a lot's been made about the Packers' offensive struggles this year. And I think from a points-per-game standpoint, the Packers are a lot similar to last year, and they're a little worse on third down. But I think the Packers' running game is better. The Packers get more pressure. And I think we're going to have to see more from Matt LaFleur. I want to be interested to see how he performs in his first playoff game at home. Green Bay is really, really good at home. So I'll be interested to see how. I think Green Bay wins this game. I think Green Bay in the 2014 NFC Championship game, I think it's a chance for them to get some revenge off that. I think they botched an offside kick. The guy, Brandon Bosley, was supposed to block and say he went for the ball, and he fumbled the ball, and we lost the NFC Championship game. I think Green Bay looks to think this is the only time that they have had. There's a lot of questions that if Aaron Rodgers can add a championship to his resume, would he be better? I think he would. They'd be better off. I think Green Bay definitely wins this game. I think it's close. Green Bay doesn't blow anyone out. Seattle doesn't blow anyone out. So I think this game is close. Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I think this game is close. Seattle is dealing with a lot of injuries. So I think Green Bay should definitely seize the opportunity at home. Or the first year coach, I think Green Bay should definitely win this one at home.
Would you give any benefit of the doubt for Russell Wilson?
No, I think a lot of like I said about the NFC, like I saw this coming in the regular season when I said like the NFC is stacked. Like I could see the Vikings winning at the Saints, and they did. I could see the 16 winning at Saints, and they did. I could see teams in the NFC, the lower seeds winning, because that's just how competitive it's been all year in the NFC. So I can definitely see what the NFC teams definitely winning, the lower seed.
Yeah, definitely. The only upset I see from these predictions so far is Minnesota over San Francisco.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, like you said, because, you know, Kyle Shanahan's inexperienced. Garoppolo's never been there. Kirk Cousins is coming off a really good win. And they have what travels, which is their defense, and they have a running game. So,
quite interesting, that matchup, the Seahawks and Packers at 6:40 p.m. in the cold, in the tundra of Green Bay. Tough place to play. But the Seahawks, we'll see what happens. I'm not going to overlook the Seahawks. They usually have some tricks under their sleeve. What'd you think about Beast Mode's performance this past weekend?
I thought it was fine. He had a touchdown. I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. He acquitted himself well.
DK Metcalf, is he a threat?
Metcalf, I've been really high on Metcalf since the draft. I think he's really, really good. When they get him out going, he's a vertical threat. I've liked him since the draft. A lot of people made about his when he had the draft and he showed up really ripped. I really liked him since the draft. I think he's performed really, really well for them and Tyler Lockett. I think Russell Wilson and him really have a good rapport.
Good chemistry there. NFL coaching news, Kailu. Joe Judge, who was the special teams coach for the Patriots, is going to the New York Giants. It was kind of a surprise. What were your thoughts when you first heard it?
When I first heard it, I actually didn't know who he was, and I'm still in the process of like learning more about him.
Me either.
But like in the press conference, I really liked how he was confident. Normally the press conferences are scripted, but it was really interesting to see him just talk about his philosophies. It's not really about what he said, because ultimately I say wins and losses are, of course, is going to determine how successful he is. Some of the things he said was basic, typical coach speaking. So let's just go off of like I really liked it. Some of the things I liked about him was his personality. I thought it was really confident. And something that stood out to me that other coaches haven't had as much success as him is he really said he's not trying to be like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. That was important to me because most of the time coaches leave New England and they leave Nick Saban. They try to be like Nick Saban and they're not themselves. And that's what end up working to their downfall, because you can't be Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. So most of the coaches end up leaving the staff, try to emulate their personalities. And you got to take the philosophies from there and apply it to what you're actually going to do at your new place. So I think that was important. That stood out to me. Ultimately, it's going to be determined by wins and losses. So we'll see what type of candidate he is. I think they got to give him time. It's a young roster. They got to, you're going to have a lot of draft picks. So I think it's going to be determined by time. I think Giants fans, if he's 4-12, he could still be the right hire. You're going to have to see over time. He may not have the roster. You're in a tough division. Now you have Mike McCarthy, who I thought was a really, really solid hire. You got Ron Rivera and you got Doug Peterson. So the coaches that he's going to be coaching against, so you got to give it time with the roster. And he could also be 12-4 and you're not sure he's a good coach, because it could be, due to circumstances. So Giants are going to have to give it, time.
Of course, Joe Judge, as Kailu mentioned, worked under Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, two championship coaches. But we'll see if things translate on the field for the Giants. Matt Rhule will be the coach of the Panthers. Kailu, was this a good pick for the Panthers?
I thought it was a really good pick for the Panthers, and I actually thought Matt Rhule was going to go to the Giants. I thought it was I was surprised that he went to the Panthers when I first saw it, and I was like another missed candidate by the Giants. I was more surprised by the amount of years that they gave him. It was 7 years. I know they had to give him more years because they had to pay Baylor, and you got to pay Baylor a fine. I was a little surprised by the amount of years that he got with the Panthers. I was more surprised by that. So it'll be interesting to see who he hires with his staff. And the more interesting question is if, with the seventh pick that they have, they keep Cam Newton, or they draft another quarterback, the 7th pick. Not really surprised that he got hired per se for that job. Just more to see what they would do with that pick, the 7th pick. Or is he going to keep Cam Newton? And what kind of staff these coaches hire? Because, you know, what kind of staff these coaches hire ultimately determine what type of coach they're going
to
be.
That is a question. Should they keep Cam Newton? Obviously, he's known to be injury prone as of late. Should they pick him or get another quarterback like Jake Fromm?
I think it's 19, 20 million dollars. I think they should keep him for another year and hope they grow the quarterback. I think if you take a quarterback, if you take a quarterback that needs time to grow, I think you should keep Cam Newton. Or maybe you have a system, Matt Rule, maybe depending on what type of quarterback you take, maybe the quarterback's a fast learner, he could pick up the system, you know, immediately, or maybe he needs a mentor. I think it depends on who you take in that position. If you take a quarterback and he needs time to think, maybe he could benefit off of Cam Newton. Or if he's ready right away, maybe you can get rid of Cam. It depends how they feel about the quarterback and who gets taken before them. And if Joe Burrow goes number one, it depends who is there for them. If they feel like the quarterback can learn right away, then you put him in. If they don't, I can see them keeping Cam Newton for another year, maybe grow behind Cam. Maybe they don't want the quarterback. Maybe Matt Rule doesn't want the quarterback to start right away. And I could see, because they have a new owner in Dave Tepper, so depending on how patient he is and who's on the staff, I can see them. Maybe they want to be patient. Maybe they want to pay Cam Newton. Or maybe they just want to go fresh to rebuild because you have McCaffrey there. So maybe they feel like the young quarterback can benefit from McCaffrey and they don't really need Cam Newton. So
now, can you tell the audience, Matt Rule obviously came from Baylor. Can he translate that victory? I mean, his success from Baylor to Carolina.
I think he's going to be in a tough division. He's coming with the Saints and the Panthers, and that's the Saints and the Falcons. So I think that's definitely a tough division. I think some of the things that he can translate, I think some of the qualities that I don't know about if he will be able to translate some of the stuff in the NFL. But I think some of the qualities that he had at Temple and Baylor, I think some of those, like he's a great leader like he was in the Big 12. I think leadership qualities, it's going to be a lot different relating to men versus children that's on scholarship. I think that's a huge difference. Can you relate to guys? There are going to be guys that are older than you on the roster. How can you perform when guys are getting paid $25 million and they can't pay more than you? I think that's going to be a factor. I think his leadership, his presence in the locker room, I think some of that he'll be good at. But I think he can translate some of the success as long as you're able to relate to 1 through 53 and the guys see that you can teach things in the NFL and not run like a college, like if not run like, you know, I think he can do it if he's relatable to 1 through 53.
Will his first decision be keep Cam or not? That's probably his first big decision.
Yeah, I think that's his first big decision, along with hiring the staff in such a short span and conducting those meetings. Because I think the draft is really going to be. I think the coaches are the best. Like a lot of people always talk about Sean McVay and him being a quarterback guru, but I think one of the reasons why he was so great when he first got hired, because he hired Wade Phillips, who was much older than him, who's been in the league, who's done it before. And I think a lot of his success was his people skills more than his actual quarterback thing. Because a lot of his concepts were not things that people haven't seen before, was more the fact that he's able to relate to 153 and who you hire in your staff. I think that's more what I look to with coaches. It's about who do you hire in your staff. That's going to determine your success.
Another hire. Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy. Was that a good hire or a bad hire?
No, I think it was a tremendous hire for the Cowboys. Other than Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, I think McCarthy gets a raw deal. I think McCarthy was great. And if you watch the piece that Tom, I can't remember his last name, but Tom, he works for the NFL Network, NFL.com. He did a terrific thing on McCarthy. McCarthy went 125-77-2 in Green Bay, 9 playoff appearances in 13 seasons. I think McCarthy's raw deal, a lot of people like to make his raw deals to be what it was in Green Bay. I think a lot of people, it wasn't all McCarthy, and I think he wasn't only blameless. I think a lot of people made do with his relationship in Green Bay. I think he had a tremendous time with Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, at the end, it didn't go as great as it wanted to. But I think every relationship isn't meant for it to last for 20 years. I think him and Aaron Rodgers had a lot of success. And I think some of those seasons at the end, Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. I think McCarthy's great. I think he's going to be great. I think he's a great leader. I think he won't be too high and too low after wins. I want to see if he has as much control in Green Bay. I think some of the difference between him and Green Bay and thing in Green Bay, the fans have stakes in the team. I think something that in Green Bay, which we all know as a Packer fan, I know this, Green Bay drafts really well, but up until last year, they didn't really spend a lot in free agency. I think that's going to be a plus working for the Cowboys. Ownership, I think, in Green Bay, there's stakeholders. So I think that's a plus. Ownership, you have a clear owner. Even though Jerry Jones talks a lot, ownership, free agency. I think the Cowboys are ready to win now. I think he'll be more disciplined. I think McCarty's teams are more disciplined. So on 3rd and 1, they won't get that offsides call. McCarty is no-nonsense. They won't get that. I think McCarty also wants the job. There's something to be said for a guy who wants the job. So I think that's also a plus for them. And I think a lot of it's going to be determined by, like, his coaching staff. I don't think that he should be forced to keep Kellen Moore because their offense ranked 1 last year. I think McCarty should be able to hire his own staff. I think I'll be watching that to see if McCarty's able to hire his own staff. I think that's going to be important for me. But I think McCarty can have really good success with the Cowboys, 9 playoff appearances in 13 years. It's not everyone's splash hire. Everyone wanted them to go out and hire Urban Meyer. But I think it's a safe hire, and it's not an insult to McCarty. A lot of people throw out the word safe and think it's bad. But I think outside of Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton and Bill Belichick, in the last 10 years, it's harder to find a better coach than McCarty. If you take out Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, and Mike Tomlin, I don't think you can find another better coach than McCarty. So I think it's a really good hire. I think he'll definitely improve Zach Prescott. The last year, he was improving the analytical staff. He's been getting a lot better with that at his house. So I think he's been getting a lot better with that. I think he'll be more disciplined for them. I think he'll be better with the media after wins and losses. He's a grown-up. He'll be able to talk to the team, everyone on the team. I think he'll get along with Zach. I think he'll get along with the offense. I think he'll get along with Jerry. And I think it'll really work in Dallas with them. If they're patient, I think it'll work.
Of course, you mentioned Dak. He is technically a free agent. Dak Prescott, obviously, if they do resign him, which I think is most likely, should they pay him franchise, or how much do you think Dak should get paid?
I think they should definitely give him over the market value. I think they should definitely 35, 38, that he was asking for at the end of the season. I don't think that they should give him that. I don't think it would be wise for them to give him that because we've seen a lot of flaws in what he thinks. I think they should still be a running football team. I don't think they should give him 35 or 38, but I think they should give him, like, between maybe, like, as long as they don't get hamstring, I think they should give him around, I think Kirk Cousins, I think, got 28, so I think they should definitely give him over that because I think that was a season or two ago. So I think they should definitely give him over that, but I don't think that they should give him 35 or 30. I think they should definitely allocate. I think they should definitely give him between 29 and, I would say, 32. I don't think they should give him – once they get over 33, I would definitely think. Or they can – I heard a lot of people say maybe they franchise tag him.
Yeah, that's definitely up in debate. I know Dak loves the organization, the team itself. And, you know, definitely he's done well. I mean, for my fantasy, he's done really well, at least. But it's not about the fantasy. It's about winning championships, and that's what he wants. Of course – Jason Garrett obviously got let go. Do you think he should be the offensive coordinator for the Giants?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't think that you want to see Jason Garrett. I mean, we've seen Jason Garrett. I mean, the first time when he was hired in 2009, his offense wasn't that special. I don't think that the Giants, like, I have this problem with teams, and I had it with Adam Gase. When they fire a coach in your division, and then another team within the division turns around and hire him. I don't think that's good hiring practice. I think because when you're in a division with a team, you directly see what other teams are doing in your division. I think the Giants would be better off just hiring a younger coordinator who haven't maybe heard of, or someone Judge is friends with, someone he's worked with. I don't know how much experience he has hiring with Jason Garrett. And I think you'll be better off hiring someone that you actually don't know than Jason Garrett, because the evidence that we've seen of Jason Garrett has showed you that he's not really a great offense coordinator. So I think you'd be better off hiring someone with unfamiliarity or someone like Benemy, the guy from Kansas City. I think they should definitely look to give him a shot and definitely give him an interview, because they've basically been exploiting the Rooney Rule, which is there to, you know, bring minority candidates. And I should definitely think they should look at a guy like that instead of hiring someone like Jason Garrett.
The Browns are the last team that will be hiring a new coach. They've been interviewing a couple of players. The big name that stands out is Josh McDaniels. They interviewed on Wednesday Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. Today they interviewed offensive coordinator from the Vikings, Kevin Stefanski. And they will interview tomorrow Josh McDaniels. They actually already interviewed Eric Bieniemy, Greg Roman, Robert Saleh. Who should the Browns hire?
I think the Browns are not going to end up with Josh McDaniels. And I don't think a lot – and as typical to Cleveland Browns, I think they always wait too long for their candidates. I mean, Matt Rhule was there. There's still a lot of great candidates there. And in terms of who they should hire, I think the Browns need to bring someone in that's going to give them direction. Jimmy Haslam has a continued recipe of firing coaches. I don't think Josh McDaniels is going to want to go there. He's come from New England. The organization is very stable in New England up until this point. We'll see what the coach is leaving, Joe Judge leaving. We'll see what happens with Brady. We can talk about that later. But the Browns should hire, I think they need a direction that they're going to go in. And if they want to go a defensive, I think they should always hire, I think the Browns perfectly need a leader. And whoever in that is the best leader and that they're going to keep around for 4 years, I think they definitely need to hire someone who they think could be there for the future. I think they need to bring in someone that's either going to develop Baker Mayfield or they're going to have a team around Nick Chubb. I think they definitely need to choose if they want their coach to be defensive or they want their coach to be offensive. I think those two things, and I think they need to decide either they want a defensive coach or they want an offensive coach. And I think they definitely need to bring in a coach that's a leader, that can be there through the ups and through the downs, who can control the locker room. Because like we've seen with Freddie Kitchens and Odell Beckham, that didn't work. He got there. He was a running back coach, a positional coach, and he was promoted too fast and nothing against him. He wasn't ready. And the thing that blew up with Odell Beckham when he went on the sideline, you could tell that was a recipe for disaster. And I feel like the guys are just taking advantage of him on the Browns. So I definitely think they should look to hire a defensive or offensive coach. And they need a leader. Like a Mike Tomlin, they need a leader. That's why I said they needed McCarthy last year. Because the most important thing the Browns need is they need a leader. They need someone that Jimmy Haslam is not going to have the trigger to fire after 2 years on the job. Because they have had more coaches since 2012 than one can remember. They need the most important thing for the Browns. They need is a leader. I mean, they have talent on their roster. They just need a leader. Because with that city is the demanding, with Cleveland, those fans are very passionate. They need a leader, someone who's going to look through the locker room and be able to identify 1 through 53, not get too high through the lows, and someone who can hold Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham both accountable. That's what's going to be important for them.
Why hasn't Urban Meyer been mentioned or hasn't been interviewed with, like, none of these teams?
Why hasn't Urban Meyer? I think a lot of people like Urban Meyer, but and they think he's really good at the collegiate level. But a lot of people have been concerned about how he's left these programs. He does a lot of winning. And also a lot of people, like when you get to the NFL, like the NFL is so much different in college. You don't, when you get to the NFL, a lot of it's about like who owners are more comfortable with. I think that's also a factor. And I think in college football, you have way more control than you have. You're basically in Ohio, you could be basically the governor. You're making more than the governor in Ohio. So I think that's a lot of it comes down to who the owners are more comfortable with hiring. And I think also a lot of it in college football, you get way more control. And sometimes in going for an interview and you're meeting with a Jerry Jones, if you're meeting with a Jerry Jones or you're a Jimmy Haslam, a lot of them aren't going to want to give college coaches power unless you're Matt Rhule and you're coming in and you're red hot and you're like, you're 44 years old. A lot of the NFL coaches and owners, don't get a lot of power in the NFL unless you're Bill Belichick. You don't get a lot of power in the NFL.
That's true. Really rare in professional football that a coach has a lot of, become a coach and also a GM. It's really difficult to see that. Talking about Tom Brady, where do you think he's going?
I actually have no idea where he'd go, but I think a lot of it's going to depend on what he wants personally, if he wants to stay. They had a lot of trouble this year. I think a lot of it really depends on what he wants to go with his family. I mean, he's taken a lot of pay cuts for the team. he's been, you know, I think a lot of it depends on, like, where he wants to go. Obviously, he could stay in New England. He could be a free agent in March. A lot of it's going to depend on, like, what he personally wants. And I think a lot of it's going to be coming to see, like, what comes in the coming months. He's not a free agent in March. So a lot of it depends what happens with McDaniels. A lot of it depends on, like, what happens with Bill Belichick if they decide to bring him back. They wanted to get him a deal. They could have gave him a deal. Last thing, Bill Belichick tried to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that didn't work, obviously. So I think a lot of it's going to depend personally about what he wants. He's been taking a lot of pay cuts for the team. A lot of it's going to depend about what, like, he personally wants.
Yeah, of course. He has put his house on sale, as well as his trainer. So it's going to be quite interesting where things are connecting. I've been hearing Chargers a lot. I've been hearing the Colts. I've been hearing the Dolphins, so we'll see what happens. I think the Chargers will be great. Someone else mentioned, like, the Raiders. I don't know, which is, like, today. I think that would be a good pick because I know that the coach of the Raiders did not like his quarterback. So we'll see how things will pan out. This Monday, let's preview the college football championship game between Clemson and LSU. Who do you think will win that match?
I think LSU wins. I think I also feel like the credit to Clemson, but I think Ohio State got robbed. That was a fumble and a touchdown by them. And I also think that Trevor Lawrence is able to run for that touchdown because I think the referee set Ohio State, to be honest, up for thing, because I think a lot of the tone got changed after. They were not as physical as they were in the first quarter. And I feel like that play where he loaded his car on his helmet, I feel like that was a lot to do with the game being less physical. And credit to Clemson, they end up winning the game. But I feel like a lot of the tone was, like, set on that play of not being able to be physical. And after that, Sean Wade and them, they got ejected and they weren't allowed to be physical. But looking forward to, like, Monday, I think LSU definitely, like, wins this game. I think Ed Orgeron, I think Joe Burrow's, he's had more wins than any team, and they've been the best team in the nation this season. So I definitely think they bring it home. They're at home. I think they'll have most of the home crowd. I think that'll be a huge factor in this one. And I think LSU completes the story and they win Monday night.
Give us a score.
I could see it being high scoring. I would go 34-28.
Pretty high scoring, which is a typical college football game. And random question, what are your 2020 resolutions or goals?
Goals to finish high school, work on choosing the best college for me, and to get into, like, a successful internship at a Fortune 500 company.
And there you have it. Kyle Borden is our NFL, NBA, college football resident. He's a hybrid. He even covers some women's soccer at times, so he definitely, young kid, whole world in front of him, definitely has a lot of time, a whole lot of time in his hands, but not for long. Kailu, what is the best way to reach you? Talk to you about Ron Rivera going to the Redskins.
They can reach me at KailuBorden12 on Instagram and Twitter.
And, of course, you could reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be following the games throughout the weekend, NFL weekend, and then, of course, Monday night, the college football championship game. Games, a lot of hires. We'll find out if the Browns will finally get a coach. Quite interesting. I don't know if it's going to be McDaniels. I just don't think it's going to be him. It feels like he's going to stay, or I don't know why I think he's handcuffed to Brady either.
I feel like he's going to stay because I feel like when you leave a situation like New England and you leave good stability, I don't think that you look at the predecessors that was hired before you. That's why I think Joe Judge is coming from a low bar, and a lot of Giants fans are happy, and it's good for them, but you're coming from such a low bar of Pat Shermer, so that anytime a fan base gets a little bit of success, they're going to be happy. So I don't think that Josh McDaniels leaves that job. I think if he would have left that, if he leaves New England, it's going to be for a better job coming, because I don't think that he wants to leave the second time, because remember how he went with the Broncos. He wasn't successful, and then you got hired by the Browns, and you get fired in 2 years. That's not your second coaching opportunity. There's only so many they're going to give you. And usually after that second coaching job as a head coach, they don't give you much more, and you end up being just a coordinator. So I don't see him taking the Browns job.
And can Belichick and Kraft win the Super Bowl without Tom Brady?
I think it depends on who the quarterback is. They're still going to have a strong defense. I don't think it's as clear-cut because, remember, Lamar Jackson is getting better. Patrick Mahomes is getting better. sooner or later, probably as soon as next year, people are going to start picking the Bills to win the division, and their road's going to get a lot harder because for the first time in 10 years, they play wildcard weekend for the first time since 2009. The Bills had their first 10-win season since 1999. They were the only team not to have one. Their division, the Bills are obviously making it a lot harder for them to win their division. So I think it's going to depend a lot for them. It's not going to be as easy to win their division. The conference is getting harder. So I definitely think it's definitely going to be a scary road in New England, especially if you lose Brady. It's going to be a lot harder for them to even win their division. Maybe next year people are not going to pick them to win their division anymore.
It kind of feels like the Patriots dynasty is over.
No, it's over. Because
I think so too. It's pretty solid.
I think it's over. And here's a couple points why I think it's over. Because like I said, for the first time since 1999, the Bills actually won a 10-win season. I think Lamar Jackson is there, Patrick Mahomes there. The division's improving. For the first time you play wild card weekend, Ryan Tannehill went into New England, actually won a game. I don't think teams are as scared going into New England. You obviously had a lot of scandals with Antonio Brown. They tried to get Antonio Brown's daddy to work out. Even the situation with Kraft early in the offseason, it's been such a thing. You're playing wildcard weekend now. Your division's getting tough. And now, like a lot of people are talking about it, dual threat quarterbacks are the future of the league. And they didn't have a lot of weapons on the outside. And you're not going to be winning your division. So there's some people that are going to pick the Bills to win their division. You played on wildcard weekend for the first time, in 10 years. They're Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. So it's definitely going to be tough for them. And I think the dynasty is definitely over. And let's see who the Dolphins take. You guys obviously finished strong with Brian Flores. So you guys will be building. And let's see Darnold look better after with the mono, after he had the mono. So the division's definitely getting better. So I don't think they're not even going to be a lot to win their division next year. The Bills keep improving and Josh Allen makes those records and he gets better as a thrower. They're not going to be a lot to win their division.
And there you have it. The tables are turning in the AFC East and football. We'll see what happens. Anyways, Kyle, we went a little bit overtime. Enjoy this weekend in the playoffs and also enjoy Monday night. We'll be back next week to recap all those games.
Thank you.